Time now for our high school roundtable. And with that, we're going to start with Zach Showers and Sealands Grove. Zach, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about yourself, Steve?
I'm hanging in there. Zach, I know I said this to you last week, but it's almost stunning to be talking about a Sealands Grove team that can't score because over the years they have, quote, outscored a lot of people.
Yeah, it really is. This is the those back-to-back weeks with a shutout, and it's the first time that that's happened actually since last year when they were shut out by Jersey Shore and Southern, and then they turned around and played Shikellamy the next week and scored 37 points. So I think Sealands Grove fans and Sealands Grove coaches are hoping for the same thing tomorrow night.
Yeah, amazing. What's happened? Is it the offensive line? I mean, what is it that's kept them? Is it field position? Is it bad breaks? So they get a drive going and then they stall? What's happened?
Well, it's been a combination. It seems like it's a different thing every week. The one consistent, the offensive line, yes, has really, really struggled to pick up assignments, to move the ball with any level of consistency. And I think, you know, some teams, you have teams you know, that are more prepared to kind of grind out drives, and you have teams that are able to make some explosive plays. And sometimes the ability to do one or the other can really bail you out if you're struggling. And unfortunately for Sealands Grove, they haven't really had any explosive plays since week one when Nate Schoen went down with an injury, and they just haven't been able to string together drives at all. Last week they were a little bit more committed to the running game, and when things came on late in the fourth quarter, when they were out of reach, but Jersey Shore still had some of their starters in, they were able to move the ball a little bit. And I wouldn't call it necessarily a wear down effect, but because they stuck with that, they were able to move the ball. But a couple weeks ago, it was not being able to take advantage of opportunities. And another thing too is the defense has had to be on the field so much, and when you have a lot of guys that are playing both ways, it makes it really difficult when they use so much energy on defense and then come to offense, and it's just tough to get going a little bit.
What would it mean to them? And I probably asked you this last week. I mean, what would it mean to them to get a score, to get in the end zone? What would that do just for the sideline?
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. That's a huge factor tomorrow night. I know that can kind of be cliche about who gets up first and things, but with the way the offense has struggled, the defense has just been exerting so much effort to almost have to play perfect. And last week was the same thing. They held Jersey Shore scoreless. They forced a turnover. They played as hard as they did all year in the first quarter and a half of the game. But the fact that they weren't able to capitalize on those opportunities, I think tomorrow night to get a score would provide some confidence. It would also give the defense a little shot in the arm to know that, hey, we don't need to play 100% perfect here. We can just go out and do our thing.
What about the significance of the rivalry here?
Yeah, it's big. I think most times when you're sitting week five and you have two teams that are 1-3, it's not a real big game. And whenever you're playing Schick, I think Sealands Grove knows that they're going to get Shikellamy's best shot, and I think Shikellamy knows that they're going to get Sealands Grove's best shot. And to have that, to be able to find maybe a positive and a launching point for the second half of the season, it's a big game, and I think with being able to get a few more fans back there tomorrow night, I think everybody's looking forward to a fun atmosphere, and I think what should be a pretty good game between two imperfect teams, but two teams that are really looking to get going the rest of the season.
Well, our broadcast team is perfect, so it's great to have everybody on board. Zach, thanks so much. Appreciate your time. It'll be on Eagle 107 tomorrow night. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Steve.
All right, let's transition to Greg Wetzel now. Greg, welcome. Great to have you with us. Coming off a win. So what keyed Saturday night?
It was wonderful Saturday night. I think they want to play Saturday nights all the time now.
Believe.
It was a game, Steve, where Lewisburg won the turnover battle. They blocked a punt. They intercepted a pass. Got great field position in both cases. They were able to run the ball. They threw for close to 150 yards and two scores. It was just nice to see things click offensively. But that being said, they gave up 28 points, so they needed all those 35 points to win the game.
Well, you know what, though, Greg? The old cliche that we talk about, well, you got to win the turnover battle, you got to win special teams. This is why.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And you know, I don't know if I talked to you about this. I think I have in the past. But my broadcast partner, Justin Michaels, and myself, we always talk about, you know, it doesn't matter what the score is, these kids play hard. And, you know, they had to play hard for four quarters because Lewisburg scored with less than a minute to go in the game to go ahead. And the senior leadership just kind of took over, and they didn't want to lose that game. And the seniors came through at the end of the game.
And that makes a big difference. And that has to at least change the tone in practice this week. It just has to. You could talk all you want about, oh, no, our kids are pushing forward. But winning changes a lot of things.
Oh, it does, Steve. And, you know, usually on Tuesday nights when I go to practice and I talk to the coach, this week I told the coach, I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to your players. And I got the four captains on the team. And they were still excited from the win on Saturday night. They had a good Tuesday practice, and they were still excited for that win on Saturday night.
All right. Defensively, giving up the 28, it makes it more exciting. It's a more exciting broadcast. No question
sure.
about that. But you'd like to get a little better control of the game. So for them to play better defense, where does that have to come from? Is it a defensive cohesion issue, or is it a spot in the field issue?
It's really, they have played some wonderful tailbacks, Steve, all year. And I think every high school team can pretty much say that's one of their better athletes is going to be their tailback. And they have run up against four really good tailbacks. This Hunter Wolfie kid that played for Midwest is no exception. And what it is, it's missed tackles in the backfield at the line of scrimmage. If they can make those tackles, they're putting this team – other teams in second and 10, third and long situations. And Lewisburg's pass defense is probably the strength of their team. And they haven't been able to do that this year. They've always been in short situations, third and two, second and four, things like that. So being able to stop the run really has to play an important part in their defense, team defense.
All right, so what about this week? There's certainly confidence going into it, but what do they have to do this week to get control of this one?
Well, number one, they have to play their best game of the year, bar none. They have to be, because Montoursville is probably the most well-balanced team that they'll see all year. I'm not saying they're the best team, but they'll be the most well-balanced team in terms of throwing the football and running the football. They have to win the turnover battle. And quite honestly, Steve, they have to hope Montoursville is looking past this game to whoever they may play next and not be as sharp as they've been this year, because if you look at comparative scores, this game shouldn't be close. But Lewisburg needs to play really well, control the ball, have these 12, 13-play drives to eat up the clock and keep the ball away from Montoursville.
Right, and that will be important because Montoursville's balance makes you guess all night long.
All night long, and they have another great tailback. The tailback gained over 200 yards against Danville last week, and so Lewisburg knows they have a tough job. But again, it's high school, Steve. You don't know. You know, momentum plays such a huge part in a lot of these games, and Lewisburg gets some turnovers, an early score. You don't know what's going to happen, you know, and they have that win under the belt, a little confidence now.
Yep, you and I talk about that all the time.
That's for sure. Yep,
Greg,
that's for
Greg,
sure.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Tell Justin, we said hi. Appreciate you very much.
We'll do that. Okay, take care, Steve. Have a good one.
You too. I'm 100.9 The Valley. Dave Ritchie, the Chief, Shikellamy, Sealands Grove. I will actually lead off with this question that I ended with Zach Showers. Shikellamy, Sealands Grove. What do you think? What do you think the rivalry means?
It's always been probably the best rivalry in the Susquehanna Valley. They the kids see each other all the time. There's a lot of Shikellamy, Northumberland, Sunbury people that now live in the Sealands Grove district. So it's not just the fact that you've got a neighboring school. You also have families that are involved, families whose dads and moms were Shikellamy grads, and now the kids are playing ball down there. So it's for bragging rights. It's I would say one of the biggest rivalries, probably bigger now than the Shamokin Mount Carmel rivalry. I would even go far to say that.
Really? All right.
Yep.
So
it's a big one.
Sealands Grove, and I said this to Zach a couple of times. I never thought in doing this show that when we would do the high school roundtable, we'd talk about Sealands Grove's inability to score. I never thought. Never thought I'd talk about that, but we are.
I agree with you. I'm
surprised.
Shocked.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be surprised by this. So, what does an early score in a game like this mean against a program that is struggling to score?
Well, I think I said last week that in the Milton game, Shikellamy scored first. And Milton struggled to score, and after that, Shikellamy pretty well dominated the second half. So I would think that the same thing would apply here. I think it's unfortunately, I didn't hear Zach's commentary, but he does such a fantastic job that I'm sure he mentioned the fact that they haven't scored in 8 quarters. So
yes,
Shikellamy could get on top like they did against Shamokin. I mean, I don't know if you know it, Steve, but they were up 13-0 in the first quarter. Shikellamy was up on Shamokin 13-0, and Shamokin came back. If Shikellamy could do that to Sealands Grove and then hold on, all right, and not get beat on some big plays, it would mean an awful lot, I'm sure of that. Although there are teams that they just are resilient, and they've been taught to just keep fighting like Shamokin did. And Rahanowski's kids never gave up, and they just did an excellent job of coming back and storming ahead. And I think Sealands Grove could do that too.
Yeah, I know it's 4 games in. I know what the record is. It's 1-3. But where are they better now than they were in early September?
Oh, defensive. They just had 41 points scored against them. But against the run, the Braves have gotten better. Again, the injury problem. They lost their safety, and you have to get somebody back there to play that position. That means you're going to move maybe a corner around, or even an outside backer back in that position, and it takes a while to adjust. So, defensive wise, I thought they played solid against the run, and a couple times there were some blown assignments. A lot of people don't realize this, but they really didn't try to run the ball until the second half against Shamokin, and when they did, they were successful. They went from a spread formation back to the standard wing T, and they ran the ball fairly well against Shamokin. So the other thing I like seeing is the fact that there are more people around the ball carrier on the tackle now than I've ever seen at Shikellamy for a long time. There's a lot of people going to the ball and helping out, and that goes a long way in stopping a team on 3 downs.
All right, so what is your opinion? What do they have to do to win this? I mean, there's a lot of emotion with this, but what do they need to do to win it?
Well, I think Coach Kizer, with changing his offense, something more to think about. And if they could execute their spread offense and throw in their wing T and control the football, that's a big key. Shamokin beat Sealands Grove by holding.
I think that's what the Braves have to do. They've got to, be able to offensively control the
ball game that way. Defensively, they've got to get their passing defense straightened out. Not so much the rush, but the protection in the defensive backfield.
That's, I'm sure that Sealingsgrove's going to test them on that. So those are the two things that I think are important.
Their kicking game has been solid. And the one thing that I
am very, very
proud of these kids is
they're averaging only about 10 yards in penalties a game.
That shows me, number one,
concentration
on listening to the count, concentration on watching the ball from the line of scrimmage when you're on defense, and, you know, not doing anything
that's illegal as far as personal fouls.
And the Braves last year had a lot of difficulty with that. This year, if you think about it, 10 yards per game, 40 yards in penalties over four games, I bet you there wouldn't be any team that wouldn't want that statistic.
Exactly. Agree with you. Dave, always a pleasure. Appreciate your time and your work very much.
Well, I hope
one of these days we can talk about another win. So it could be this week because they're fired up, and I'm sure Sealingsgrove's fired up. So it's always a fun game, and there's going to be a lot of media coverage there too.
Yeah, a lot of media coverage, and maybe more fans?
Yeah, the plan is Tim Ford, athletic director. The plan was they were going to go to 1,200
people at the game, and last I heard they were going to offer.
Well, they were going to offer
juniors and seniors, and then what they didn't want, they were going to offer to the sophomores and freshmen. And if I'm not mistaken, okay, I think all the players got four tickets. So you're going to see more people in the stands this week.
That's great. All right,
yes,
Dave. Thanks so much. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Steve. Have a good day.
You too. Dave Ritchie, the Chief, joining Kevin Herr on News Radio 1070 WKOK with the broadcast tomorrow night. Rivalries are fun. They're fun.